Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad, or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Woo! Hey! Welcome, everyone. Woo! Can you feel it? Can you feel the energy? Wow. There is so much happening, so much going on. Going to dive in a little bit on that, and then the second half of our program, we have Jennifer Ruth with us, who is an international award-winning musician, and we're going to dive into her past and get to know her a little better, and that'll be on the second half of the program, Jennifer Ruth Russell, and it is the time for art now. You know, it is the time for more self-expression. Because that is the soul. That is what the soul is about. So welcome everyone in the chat, Sacred Space of Empowerment Room, also my sound engineers. It's great to have you there. Always with me, grounding the energy, holding the space. Guests, anybody else that joins in, feel free to ask questions. We've got a great group in the chat room, and they always... beacons of light with their own insight and awareness. Oh, good. The sound is good. Thanks, Tamara. Appreciate it. Okay. I see guests. I already see people online. If you do have a question or comment, those of you that are on phone, listening by phone, press 1 on your keypad. That lets me know that you want to get heard. Okay. Let's get a couple things out of the way, and then we're going to dive into callers first, and then I'll share and chat around that, and because there's a lot of people right now that are going through lots of stuff, and that is going to continue. Really, get your hydroplane rollerblades on, because there is a lot of change. Now, there always is a lot of change, but sometimes we do have intensification of energy, and during those times, I do like to give people a heads up. That's part of what I do. Is show you so you can prepare. It's like in any reading, any astrology reading, any kind of reading, if you know, or weather report, take it as what you will. So first off, if you're looking for resources, if maybe you listen to the program and you're saying, I need more, I want more, maybe for energy in a form of time or money as a consideration, there's lovely resources. If you follow me on my Facebook page, or the Awakenings with Michelle Mache, or my personal page. And then you can also see some other people from the page, from the postings that you that might support you or inspire you. So I offer that to you. Also, of course, my Instagram or my Twitter, that is another source of inspiration and support. Little soul insights, a little soul bits, little megabits of information that are downloaded that are just for you. And then also my daily OM course, Navigating Your Greatest Soul Shift, especially if you're trying to find out what is this all awakening about, what's happening to me, you know, what am I really here to do, how do I, you know, do more of what I love in my life. You can find that at dailyom.com, and that's Navigating Your Greatest Soul Shift. And then also selfandlight.com. There are some things that you can download, some gratis, actually. There's quite a few things that you can that are free to support, and then some things for nominal fee as well. And then as well, my Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living blog. And also newly, soulentrepreneurship.life and soulentrepreneurship.com. Either one will take you there. There's information there. And in fact, I just started a seed group that is going really, really well. I'm grounding the energy with the help of some wonderful healer, awakener, light beings, artists, business people, about going to your next level. And I was asked to do a group or start a group to help, to do what I do individually. So to assist people into finding what their soul's purpose is and honing that and how to live that abundantly. So living it in a fulfilled way, which also means prosper, making money from it. And why my program really works is because I really look at the soul. That's what's different. I'm not trying to tell you to, you know, magnetize something that's not yours. I'm helping you find out what is yours and what is your way, and then run with it. And that's what's happened with the people that I've worked with individually over the years. So I'm sharing that. And if you have an interest in that, you can go to soulentrepreneurship.life or email me, Michelle, at soulentrepreneurship.life or info. Info, that's easy, soulentrepreneurship.life as well. Or awakeningsradio@gmail.com handles all of this. And as well as guest suggestions, topic suggestions, feedback, if you want dreams interpreted, or if you would like any kind of question or just to say hi, that would be great. And of course, you can always find us on iTunes also. There's another place. So I'm going to start saying that more and more because I've been getting people emailing me or Facebooking me and saying, oh, I need, you know, I'm really going through something. What can I do? What can I do? So those are some good resources. And if you're working with me in a group setting or individually, I do weekly soul insights. The other thing is you can also sign up for my newsletter, which also will give you some more, you know, support and information. And I do a little 411, a little heads up, you know, monthly. So that's another way. So just to help you along the path. So I want to read something a little bit from Osho, and then we'll get to callers. It's from Creativity, Unleashing the Forces Within, Insights for a New Way of Living. The reason I want to read just this little tiny bit to get you guys thinking in a new way a little bit is that the soul is all about expression. And I keep saying this, and this is, you know, kind of what's has been missed in a lot of writings and information, is that the soul is about creativity. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean everybody has to be a painter. It's not, but it is about self-expression. And looking at your life creatively or as an artist, because you are an art, everyone is an artist, even if you're not a painter, a writer, a drawer, and everyone is a writer, it just to some degree. And everyone can express themselves through some type of artistic means, you know. So how, you know, some of my business people are saying, you know, like even Donald Trump, what did he do? That book, The Art of the Deal. The people that I work with business-wise tell me, they say, you know, this is my art. I'm an artist. I'm creative. I do creative financing. That's what I do. You know, when I do a business, I'm creating from that. That's what I do. So we have to really widen our terminology a bit. Some of you that are teachers or have literally been teachers in a school, if you come in with a teacher, you know, we did a show on that. Those people that are teachers, seers, there's different types of healers. It's looking at how do I do that in different mediums. And sometimes, and remember, the greatest thing to being a light worker or a healer is your consciousness. So it's not always what we do overtly. It's our consciousness. It's how we're showing up in our life. If we're aligned, so the more we're living aligned to what we're really meant to do, and that's what we want to do, the more that we're actually healing and radiating out to others. So somebody that seems to be helping other people but doesn't really want to do it, or is only doing it because they don't know what else to do, or they just fell into it and now it's too late to change, that's not really shifting the consciousness of the world, okay, you know, and the universe for that matter. That doesn't count. Just like when you're on your path and you're struggling, and you're resisting, which is part of the process. But if we don't, it delays it, okay? It just delays the process. So that's part of what I want to share with everybody today, is that some people tell me, I've been working on this for 3 years. But for all those 3 years, you're fighting the process, you're not going with that flow. So the more we fight, the longer something takes. You know, what is that wrestling? And then you say, uncle, you know, I give up. And then you feel that relaxation. So there is a certain amount of persistent effort. Some people might call that struggle or strife. It's the tension of the opposites, what we call metaphysically and in esoteric sciences. It's the, in the tarot, it's the lover's card. In the astrology, it's Gemini. It's the two, or Libra, it's the two opposites that need to be balanced out, or seemingly opposites. They're really complements. So what I would suggest to everybody in your life right now is look at where you're fighting what is. And we all do it. I do it too. We all do it. Yes, Tamara puts resistance delays. It delays. And it's like getting angry with yourself because it's all coming from your higher self. Here's an example. When you're when we get in an argument with someone, it's heated. You're not going to get heard anymore. You're not going to get listened to, heard, acknowledged, and understood screaming at the top of your lungs. The person may stop, but for them to really digest, you're going to have to stop the crying or stop the yelling. I'm not saying crying and yelling is wrong. I'm not making a judgment. I'm just saying, at some point, because when we're yelling, we're resisting what is. This person's not listening, or I don't like this. So as soon as we come to that neutral point, that's where the surrender is. That's where we give in. We give up the fight, the struggle, and accept what is and work with what is. You know, and I'm seeing this in my soul entrepreneurship group. Some people are just, they're wanting to do something completely different, but you have to start where you are. That's the acceptance. So Osho says, become a child again and you will be creative. All children are creative. Creativity needs freedom from the mind, freedom from knowledge, freedom from prejudices. A creative person is one who can try the new. A creative person is not a robot. Robots are never creative. They are repetitive. So become a child again, and you will be surprised that all children are creative. All children, wherever they are born, however they are born, wherever they come from, are creative. But we don't allow their creativity. We crush and kill their creativity. We jump upon them. We start teaching them the right way to do things. Remember, a creative person always goes on trying the wrong ways. If you always follow the right way and do the thing, you will never be creative. Let yourself be in the moment of discovery. So then he goes on to talk about the difference between a producer and a creator. And a producer knows the right way of doing something. So that comes in. That comes into play. Being a producer comes into play after you've been creative. In other words, don't stop your creativity in honing. Even artists do this. You go into the recording booth to do a song, and they just say play, or you're working on a song on the guitar or the piano, and you're just playing it out. Let me just try this. Let me just try these chords. Let me try this note. Let me try this riff. Let me try these beats. Let me try these sounds. Let me try these lyrics. And you play around. You create. The producing or the production, the mixing or the mastering doesn't come until later. If you're trying to refine before you let yourself have abandonment, just wild creativity, just exploring. If you don't allow yourself the exploration, then there's really nothing to tool, to hone, to refine, or define and refine. So a lot of people try to move into too much judgment. They're trying to produce while they're creating. And so you can't do that, which takes a high level of trust, which says all my creations are valid, even if I have to scrap it, or even if I have to retool it. So I would just say, let yourself open up a bit more and be like a child in that wild abandonment that you're just simply playing. they're in the play of consciousness, the spirit of play. Let yourself play around. And then you can refine, right? That's the refinement. That's where you're producing now. You're tweaking it. There's adjustments. That this is where, you know, the mixer says, okay, a little more of this, a little less of this, a little less reverb, a little more bass. No, bring up the treble. Okay, let's put a filter on this. Okay, let's, you know, a little more of this, a little more of that, and then mastering it where it's that finished product. But in order to do that, you have to first be in the spirit of play. It does. You can't mix and master what you haven't yet created. And for some of you, you may have someone that does that for you, or maybe there's a collaborative aspect where you're just creating, 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 and somebody is helping you refine it or retool it. That's a possibility as well. All right, we're going to get to callers now. That number is 347-539-5122. That's 347-539-5122. And please press 1 on your keypad. I see a lot of people in the queue, but I don't. If you don't press 1, then I don't know that you want to be heard. So let's start out with 415-416. You're on Awakenings Radio. Hi, you're on Awakenings with Michelle Mache.
Hi, Michelle. This is Kate.
Kate? Hey, Kate. Welcome. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I loved what you just said about play before producing, and I kind of do both at the same time, so that was a good message for me.
Good, good, good. Yeah, 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 because do you see what it does? It stifles us. It stifles.
Yeah, because I do that. I mean, it's kind of my job to put everything in line in the order, so I have to separate myself from kind of my work, that work mode.
Yes. You know, really good. Yeah. So you do that. You do that. Do that in your work life is what you're saying, right? Your regular.
Yeah.
Work.
So like event, like when I produce an event, it's all a matter of conducting the timeline. You know, making sure everything happens in the right time. So when I'm trying something new, I try and put it in place first in the timeline. You know, instead of just the flow.
Yes.
Of that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I can totally understand that because I'm kind of similar. I produce a lot of stuff, and even back in the day, I used to choreograph and produce things. And
yeah,
it is
you
worth
put everything in its time.
Exactly, it's good to learn to separate that part of yourself out so that because you'll find that your creations will even be even better, more inspirational.
Right.
So, did you have a question or a comment?
Yeah. So I've had a friend, a guy friend for a while, like 10 years, over 10 years, and we kind of dated when we first met, and nothing bad happened. We've been friends for, you know, the whole time, but living in different locations, and it looks like we're both going to be at the same time in the same place. End of August, beginning of September. And there's always just something in the back of my mind of,
that it could
you know, I'm really not attached to it, so it's a good thing. And not if it's just the friendship, that's great. But
okay.
I feel like we have some other attachment or connection.
You do have a connection. You do. I feel like he reminds you of someone you would like to be with.
Ah.
But let me ask you, is he not local to you? Because I feel so distant.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. He's I'm on the West Coast. He's on the East Coast, and we're both going to be in the same city in a couple of weeks.
Oh, that's why you're saying that. Okay.
Yeah,
because I feel if it weren't, and I'm going to look at this, because of what I was hearing, I feel that if you were on the same locale, that it would work out.
Ah.
Yes, yes. I feel like you guys would date. So give me just the first name or first initial.
D. Dom, as in Dom.
Okay. Okay, D. Well, you might try it. Have you guys ever gone back and forth? Like, come visit me, I'll come visit you? Because I do a little bit of that.
And then he flakes out. We've had this plan every year, and then he flakes.
Yeah, because it's the distance for him.
Oh, okay.
So you could, if that could happen again, he's got a fear or phobia of doing that, and then the person meets somebody else. So that might have happened. That might have happened already with him.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah. So there's a bit of a phobia about somebody not being there. Also, it does show him to have a lot of friends. There's a lot of friends that he has. I feel him very social. Is that him?
Yeah.
Yeah, and but it does show you having a lovely time. I think you're going to hang with him a bit, probably call, Skype.
Right.
I feel like it's more likely that you would go visit him if you want to check things out than him to come see you. You know, honestly, because I feel like he'll have issues, you know, around actually getting together. So. or somehow it doesn't work out, or he has to do this or that. But if you want to do that in the spirit of play, in the spirit of lightness, in the spirit of unfolding, like this is just one part of your path, because I do see someone around you, I do see you ending up dating somebody, but I feel like it's local.
Yeah, right.
Are you in San Francisco? Yeah, you're in San Francisco area. Where's San Mateo?
It's just about 15 minutes south by the airport.
Okay, because I feel somebody in that area around you.
Oh, funny.
Or you're going to be doing something over there or something, but that it's calling you more in that direction. But I feel like, you know, sometimes, you know, and this goes for all of you that are, you know, really wanting to draw in that life partner that's a soulmate, or the soulmate that's a life partner, because clearly for you, Kate, this guy is a soulmate. There is a soulmate connection.
Yeah, for
sure. But are you soulmated? You know, that's the
key. Exactly. Yeah.
And so one way to just do that is to look at everyone, honor that everybody is a soulmate, and open up the play without focusing on where is this leading. I would say right now for you, that's a biggie.
Yeah.
If you could
do that in the past, but now I can do it.
Okay. Honestly, everybody, if you can do that, that is going to open you up more to drawing in a soulmate. That's mated, a soulmated relationship. Because it just makes you more electrical magnetic and makes you to draw in, you know, it's your electrical, it just ups your frequency to do that. So have fun, have a good time.
Yeah. I'm trying to coordinate a new, you know, this trip back up to my hometown together with moving. So I'm just a little confused about how do I find a place and move and go on this trip.
Well, I feel go on the trip, but I don't feel you're ready to move yet.
Well, it's kind of an ending. I mean, unless he ends it, I have a hard end on September 1st.
The
end of just me and this apartment. It's just the apartment.
Oh, not look. Okay, not a huge move. Okay, because I'm not.
Oh, no.
I'm not seeing like you out of the area. Okay.
Oh no, I just came here.
With which trip are you talking about?
So I'm going back up to Seattle to see my family, and the best time would be like the last week of August, first week of September. But I need to move the 1st of September.
Yeah.
But
you're not, well, you can't, you're going to have to do one or the other. Don't try to sandwich
exactly.
everything in.
Right.
Yeah. I would. Exactly. But now the thing is, I feel you're kind of loose. Now you could put stuff in storage. I feel
an option. I could
go visit and then come back. You know, we have amazing shift of energy or beginning of October where Saturn goes into Pisces. It gets out of Scorpio. Things are going to lighten up a lot more.
Okay.
We have Jupiter right now in Virgo. There's going to be a conjuncting of it. Jupiter in Virgo, Mars and Venus in Virgo as well. So there'll still be a lot of healing and testing, especially, you know, shadow material and stuff about relationship coming up. But there will also be some lightness and also a little bit like being, you know, a hand glider or like a little paper plane glider. For some people, it will be a slingshot shot in out of one thing and into the other. But there will be more momentum as we get into September, end of September, into October. So if you have to make major changes, I would look at doing it at that time instead of right now.
Yeah, that's great. That's what I was trying to work out, is just staying with friends and house sitting in September.
Yeah, I would do that. Just be light, be free. Maybe you can even go see Dawn, you know. It's like just right now, let there be that lightness of being.
Okay.
And it will come together, I would say, probably between October, November is my sense of it. December at the latest. I would say October, November.
All right. Maybe
All right,
in
hey,
San Mateo. All right. Thank you.
Well, yeah. Huh?
I said maybe I'll end up living in San Mateo.
Exactly. Exactly. I know that's figuring prominently around you. So.
Okay.
All right, Kate, keep us posted.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, sure.
Bye.
All right.
Bye. 678-467, you're on Awakenings with Michelle and Shay.
Hi, how are you?
Hello. I'm doing great. To whom am I speaking with?
Hi, this is Kathy from Atlanta.
Hey, Kathy, welcome to the program.
Thank you. What's your question? I had a question. I've had 3 interviews with different companies in the last 2 weeks, and I was trying to see if I would get an offer from any of them, all of them, or do I need to be specific on the one that I want and think I do?
You probably need, is there another one in the workings? Is there a fourth? Either going back to one?
As of now, I don't have that information.
Okay.
So I can be specific. I just didn't know how you needed to go.
Well, let's see. Let's come here for Kathy. Yeah, probably, because it does show that you will be getting a job. 1 of the 3 that she interviewed for.
Because there's 2 that I really want. You know how I can rank them in order, so that's why I'm just trying to help you help me.
Yeah, I can't tell which one. It does show, and it is showing in August, so it's definitely going to be this month. But they're not really discerning. I don't know if it's definitely, I see you happy but not over elated or overjoyed. Is one of them in kind of a more industrial business park?
Is one of them a little more
out of the way?
2 are a normal commute in their high rise buildings, and they're literally 2 of them are around the corner from each other, like within 5 minutes. And then one is a further commute.
Is a further commute?
Is a closer commute.
Oh, closer commute. But are there? I'm not really seeing high rises. I'm seeing like a lot of parking and different buildings, like a cluster of buildings, like a business park area. I guess is what you call
yes,
it.
Yes, that's the 2 that's around the corner, because it's a ton of businesses that work in that area, but they're all in high rise. So, oh, you know what? The one that I really want, they have a cluster of buildings.
Well, that's what I'm seeing.
It's so amazing when your mind starts. They have addresses like ABC. Does that make sense? but there's not like 6105.
Yes, but there's a cluster of them, and you drive around them. I feel you can drive around them. That's the one that I'm seeing you at.
And that's the one I want.
Oh, well, there we go. Okay. All right. So now just relax and wait for the start time. It's definitely this month.
Will I have to go back in?
Probably, because I heard the fourth. I heard the fourth or fourth time. So there could be another interview is what I'm hearing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But definitely.
I'm getting like the third, maybe second, but really stronger. I'm hearing the third or fourth week of August. So there could be another meeting, and I feel it's female in nature. Did you interview with a female? A woman?
My hiring boss is a female, and then I had to interview with two other people. One was a female, and another was a male.
Yeah, but it's the main female that you're going to be connecting with, is what I'm seeing.
Oh, I loved her.
Maybe that's why you guys have a good rapport. But that's the one I see you interfacing more with and talking to again. The other ones will just sign off, but she's the main person that you'll be dealing with.
Congratulations
and good luck. I'm going to get to the next caller. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Hi, 310-995. You're on Awakenings Radio. Welcome to Awakenings.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Hi, Michelle. It's Krista.
Hey, Krista, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
How are you?
So, I've been good. The last two shows that you've had, I mean, I feel like you're just talking directly to me. Everything you have been having on your Facebook page. Oh, my gosh. I love your show so much. So my question is, I had my boyfriend recently moved in from San Francisco, and everything's been going great. He started a new job here. We were truly in love, and then all of a sudden, he just says he wants to move back home and not talking to me about it. And it kind of hit me like nothing bad happened. He couldn't give me an answer.
Is he in New York?
No, he's in San Francisco, which is funny.
Oh, you said San Francisco. Oh, okay, because I was seeing a big, busy, what do you call it? I was seeing a lot of not LA area around him, like seeing a lot to do with high rises and that kind of thing. City, more city living.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see what is going on with him. And does he want to break up?
Yeah. He's like,
that's what I thought.
Done. Yeah. But it's so weird because it wasn't. Nothing happened.
Boy, he did cut off. Boy, did he. I don't agree, but had you been snippy or irritated?
Kind of.
Yeah. And, wanting him to do certain things or go in a certain direction. I'm just in his head. This is what he's kind of saying and seeing. Something off with the communication between the two. Now, Krista, don't take this the wrong way, but are you kind of forceful in your communication?
Yeah, I can be, I guess. Yeah.
But more like my way or the highway, like we're going to do this or I want to do that or you didn't do this.
And I've always told him, like, you know, if you ever miss home, like, let's talk about that and we can talk about moving up there. I wouldn't mind it. And I don't know if it's like he said he misses his family and he misses his old job and he misses
all that, but there's something about, and maybe it's just because we're more here. I don't know. Did you have planned? I guess I'm not saying this is exactly accurate, but you're trying to find out what was going on with him. He was feeling like everything was kind of mapped out or laid out for him, or now we're going to do this, or just snippy. The irritation, the snippy was getting to him. There was something underlying. And it showed, you see, and it shows him because I think intuitively you were feeling him pull in.
Even I was, two, 3 months I tried to talk to him about it, and then he just said, I don't think I'm in love with you. And so that really hurt because it was like I was trying to talk to him what was really going on, and he just pulled away even further. But it wasn't like I was being snippy. I was being very, like, let's talk, like, what's going on with you? You're not here with me. You're gone.
But yeah. But see, that's when the guy is snippy. But you're not here, not present. It's sometimes for guys, it's too much. You know, and so he was feeling like, I'm not ready for this. I can't do this.
Yeah.
So that deeper communication, that deeper level of commitment, guys don't know what that means. You know, they try. You have to give them examples of how to show up. But sometimes saying that, until they're at a different level, they can't really hear that, understand. It's really women speak and feminine speak, and when the guy does understand that, it's usually because he's been working on himself a long time, or he's a lot older and been in a relationship that he's heard that enough.
This is what he did to his last girlfriend too. Like he got close, and I think he just bolted.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of his mom's energy is around him too. I don't know if she's got something in his ear.
No, this is just, it's too much too soon, even though you're kind of ready for it. I feel like he thought he could do it.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a little women resentment, like women want so much, I don't know what to give. There is a little bit of that. Because even though you're telling me, oh, I wasn't snippy, I was nice, I was this and that, I'm telling you how he was interpreting it, like, one more thing, I can't do this. And then he didn't have his support. See, if he had at least had his guy friends or place where he felt comfortable and confident, I think it would have worked.
Yeah. Well, I told him, I was like, look, you can talk to my cousin's husband, and they've all reached out to him, and he just totally shut down on all of us.
No. I know, because it's not his peeps. His peeps.
Yeah.
See, that's very
hard. I thought about that.
Yeah. It's very hard, and I suggest this to a lot of couples. Don't do the long distance move until you're really solidly in there. And unless a new job that person loves or something lifestyle brings them over there and they have the support, whatever that is. Well, I don't care if it's the bar, the place to play pool, the spiritual center, the church. Until they have their own support system, it's so hard for it to work because they're on like quicksand. And this is a guy, Chris, that what happens is when he feels that he's failing and he doesn't know what to do, he gets out. I don't know if he'll ever be the type that'll be, let me work through it and learn about myself. I feel when he doesn't feel confident, when he feels like the, you know, sand is shifting underneath him, he tends to bail.
He's convincing himself that he's making this right decision, and really he's not staying and working on himself, which is what he should be doing. Because I really kind of helped him, give him tools. He was just talking to, like, you know, my family, my aunt, my cousin, you know.
But see, that doesn't do that. See, that's why I'm here. Hear me, please, on this. That's why I said he felt like everything was your way. Everything was about you. Because it was your place, your cousins, everybody coming in. But it wasn't enough his thing, his people, his history. So, I mean, a good learning. I'm so sorry you're going through that. I mean, it's hard because there is a lot of love and there's connection between the two of you, definitely. But I feel like he, you know, it's like there's a saying called a closed mind, a confused mind says no. You know, if you ever, anybody, you know, if you're buying a car, going to get something, and you're confused, I don't know what to do. Not doing any of it. That's what happened to him. A confused mind says no. So, too much going on and not enough of a foundation, he just, that's it.
So I just have to let him go and make that decision.
Right? Yeah, I feel you could probably, but this would probably be hard for you, you could probably casually date him or date him long term.
Yeah.
But I will share with you, the issue around that is, I feel, again, this is an individual that when something doesn't work, he says that's it. You know, if he feels he failed at something, it's not just about him. It's about he closes the whole option, the whole situation. So you might find him a little close. You feel he's shut down? He's not open to talk?
Not at all.
Yeah.
Like, even just, like, joking around or going on a date, like, he's so shut down, it's just nothing.
He can't handle failure. See, that's the thing. I wish people would understand no relationship is a failed relationship. It's all soul expression, loving, and learning. It's all, you know, learning. So he has a chance to learn about himself, but I don't know, did you see this in him before? There's a really strong issue with did you see this before? Let me share with you. Did you see before with him that he has an issue around control and his perception of failure? It's a self-esteem issue.
Absolutely.
Okay. So that's what's kicking in right now.
Yeah.
That's what's kicking in. So it's like a person going to college for something that they really want to do, and then it gets too hard, and instead of getting a tutor or a mentor or working more, they just say, I don't really want to do that, and never wanted to do that anyway, even though they really wanted to do it. I mean, it's fine if you go to school and say, I found out I've studied this and I don't want to do it. But there are those people that when things get too difficult, they go, I didn't really want that anyway. Yeah, that's not for me anyway.
Yeah.
And then they look for something else that seems easier. That's what happened. I feel so sorry. Yeah.
Could have just hit me. Like, he was the one that pushed all of this.
Of course, because he felt he could do it. He did feel he could do it. But see, nobody can do it unless you have support. And the support is never the other person's family or friends, even though it seems like it. I've seen people get married, and they move in, and maybe the husband takes on the job, and they don't have their own sense of self. And then it could be months to years later, they end up cheating, they end up breaking up, they end up doing weird acting out behavior because the foundation was never, it wasn't there. They didn't create their foundation, and that's what happened. Okay.
And I knew that was going to be an issue with him, and I tried to make it, like, I was like, we'll just buy, you can go see your family whenever you want, like, let's buy plane tickets, and he's like,
but you can't, see, Krista, the thing is, you can't do it. He has to be mature enough to see, and not only ask for it, but do it, and follow through, and that's what didn't happen, and that's why it collapsed.
Yeah.
Because he's not really important. Big hug.
Thank you.
So your next vision is the vision for someone that is doing their own work and can handle, will follow through on the challenges.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
All right. Yes, lots of love and light. Bye.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, let's see. 267-777, you're on Awakening.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Hello.
Who is this?
Hey, it's Blair.
Yes. Hey, Blair. Welcome. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, I was dating this guy. Most stressful experience of my life. So I just broke it off the other day, and I just need to know it. Like, it's completely over. Like, he's not going to contact me, right? Because that was just, like, hell. Craziness.
What was going on?
I would say, like, this is the first experience where I've actually had a guy, like, really disrespect me on, like, I can't even explain it. I'm just like, you are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I've always had to, like, defend myself. It was like, we were always,
and
like,
how,
at each other.
How was he disrespecting, if you don't mind?
Verbally, he never put his hands on me. This is, like, verbal. It kind of reminded me of my parents' relationship, except they were more physical. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
This is something that I just can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's happening right now to heal it. So a lot of stuff that's going on with a lot of people right now is about healing, finding ways to heal the reactivity in the relationship, which is the wounding. Mm-hmm. So that he probably will contact you again, I feel, is my perception. But it's up to you what you want to do. But the main thing for you is really to heal your reactivity to it and the charge, the emotional charge that you have with what's going on. Because like you said, it's a pattern replaying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I mean, just like even the caller before, because there's right now, you know, energetically, and if we look astrologically, the things that are happening with Venus retrograde, it's calling to reevaluate how do we love, how, going back to the past, how do we learn to love, what do we consider love, you know, how do we like to be loved, you know, what do we value, and old patterns. A lot is coming up in clearing old patterns of relating. So it's working on our own patterning, our reactivity, and making peace with it, and really getting into a deeper healing, finding the modes of healing that help us heal the inner child, the wounded aspect of our being, and seeing that as, you know, bringing that part of ourselves into the present, you know, letting that part feel loved and bringing it in for completion.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Blair, you take good care, nurture yourself, okay?
I will. I'm going to yoga in like 3 hours.
Good.
So.
Good. Yep. Lots of love and light.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I think we have time for one more call. 305-300, you're on Awakenings.
Hey, Michelle, this is Deanna. How are you?
Hi, who is this?
Deanna in Miami.
Oh, wait.
This is Deanna in Miami.
Oh, Deanna. Yes. Welcome. Yes.
Hi. Well, I'm at a blocking, you know, stage right now, and I was wondering what I could do to release it. I need work, and it comes in and it cancels. So do you see it improving this week? Because it's a dire need.
Yeah. And you say things have been blocked.
Yeah, very blocked.
Now, what I think to you, you need to reach out. It's done getting out of your environment. So I don't know if you've been overly focused in one area.
Yeah, pretty much. Branching
out. Yeah, so you need to either advertise, promote, branch out, meet with other people, because other people can refer you. But it is showing that you're needing to get to branch out. You're needing to get out of the environment that you're in. That it's, yeah. So that's going to help you. That's even going to bring, you know, new energy, and always in the form of new energy are people that we can, you know,
is
connect with and help.
Is there any way to compose or repair the situation? Because I've been working for these people for about 13 years, and it's out of home. I do the hearings on the phone, and something just happened. I don't know what.
It's telling you, even if you have that, you're going to have less work with them, and maybe even no work. So it's saying that you need to branch out. You need to look at either another way of working or other people that do similar, but not depend on the group that you're with right now.
Okay. Thank you so much.
But you need, you're so welcome. And there'll be growth there, you know, there'll be growth. I know it's a little scary.
You know, the scary thing is right now I am completely without funds. And so having,
I know, but you need to branch out. You need to branch out. This is the thing. When we've exhausted a certain, you know, group or energy pattern, a certain system, we need to branch out. So you're getting that message. You need to branch out, and then you will recoup the money. You'll get that flow going again. But you're going to have to branch out.
Please,
all right, Deanna, keep us posted.
Send me some good energy. Thank you. Bye.
Definitely will. Bye. Yeah, you know, it's like markets. You see this with businesses. People branch out. They look for other avenues of income or expression. Widen your reach. And sometimes I know that can be scary, but it is many times so what is needed and necessary. All right, everyone, get your tea, get your coffee, get your juice. We now have our second half of the program, the Awakenings Dialogue. Today we have Jennifer Ruth Russell with us, who's an award-winning songwriter, singer, and piano player. She's also an inspirational speaker, a teacher, as well as a spiritual mentor. And her life vision is to uplift, empower, and transform the world with songs that open the heart. She's written and performed 7 albums of powerful, uplifting music, including her most recent release, There's Only Light, and Lay Down in That Grass. Jennifer's also written and recorded over 75 children's award-winning songs on The Virtues. And by the way, she also has a concert coming up. We'll be finding out all about that as well. Hello, Jennifer, and welcome to Awakenings.
Thank you, Michelle. I am delighted to be here.
Ah, wonderful to have you on the program. Wonderful, wonderful to have you on the program.
Thank you. I'm grateful to be here.
Yeah. So my first question to you, and I always ask, well, there's a couple that I always like to ask for our listeners to kind of give them an idea, because a lot of people are burgeoning, fledgling artists, singer-songwriters. Some are full-fledged and are out there in the world doing their thing quite successfully, and everything in between. So I always like to ask, you know, how did you start doing what you're doing, and how did you know not only that this is what you wanted to do, but this is what you were supposed to do, let's say born to do?
Well, that's a great question. That I have to say, it's taken me a long time to really know this is what I was born to do. I think I began it just because it was, you know, I was interested in it. It was fun, and I have been taught and mentored. I'm a spiritual practitioner from the Agape International Spiritual Center, and
taught meditation there.
Oh, awesome! So. I was at a meditation retreat with Reverend Michael way back in 2003, and this is after I had written a whole bunch of music, and we were in silence for days, and I was like, oh, there's just nothing in here, it's just a blank slate, I'm not getting anything, you know, and it was a New Year's meditation, and 11:30, New Year's Eve, I heard these words saying, "You are the song of God." And I had one of those watershed moments where I couldn't stop crying for, it was a good hour. Couldn't even speak that out loud for 10 years. That's how profound it was for me. It's amazing that I can say it right here in the very beginning of this radio show.
Wow.
Because I really couldn't even speak that out loud for many, many years. So that's when I knew that, you know, I was to continue and to keep doing this, you know, this thing that I love. I love it. I mean, it's my love. So it's easy. It's easy.
Now, let me ask you, what were you doing before you were expressing as a singer-songwriter? What were you doing before, and then how did the shift, because you had this epiphany, this aha, awakening. What were you doing before, and how did you shift into doing this?
Well, I have, to me, I think as being an artist, and maybe people out there that are artists could relate to this, that most of our life, to me, we spend truly learning how to believe in our artistry. So I have taken 10-year detours. You know, I'm one of those people that, you know, a lot of things come easy to me. So I flew for the airlines for a while. I do a lot of spiritual mentoring as well. So there's always been something that's come along with my music. But before then, I got to tell you, I just kind of was doing anything and everything to stay alive, and waitressing, you know, working. I worked actually at Agape for a while and was Ricky Byers Beckwith's assistant there at Agape with the Music and Arts Ministry. And when I was there, I was like, I was fine being there, but I am really good at facilitating somebody else's vision. And my vision started percolating there. And this was the early 2000s. It's like, no, it's time for you to get out there and really bring your music to the world. And so I began taking my children's music into LA Unified School District as an art program.
Love that.
I love that.
So I love what you...
Because...
Go ahead.
Never mind. Go ahead. Ask me the question.
No. I love it. You love that too, because I'll get back to it. Go ahead. You love that
well,
too, because...
Well, I'm looking at... You know, the people that are still surrounding me, because as I don't know if you know, but all the art funds flew out of LA Unified in 2008,
yeah.
9. Yes, you know that.
Yeah. Not just there, also, I used to teach and then I do life enrichment programs for children going to the schools as well. I haven't done it in a while, but I was doing it regularly and I was appalled, even in very wealthy school districts like San Diego, it's, you know, up. I was like, where's the paint? Where are the schools? Where are the supplies? And teach parents having to come in and teach, you know, because they don't have enough funding for the teachers. So yes, I'm aware of that, unfortunately, that that's going on. So anyway, you were saying.
Well, I am, you know, I've just finished my, I don't know, what is this album, these two albums that I finished are my fifth and sixth adult albums, and then I have, or for I should say older kids, and then I have a whole lot of things for younger kids, and there's a sweetness now that is like flowing through my life of the family that surrounded me in other musicians, and some of those musicians that went into the schools with me are still with me to this day, and I love that. That's just all I wanted to say. And some of them are going to be at the concert on Sunday night.
Yes. Oh, and just since you mentioned that, and we'll get back to diving in. Tell us a bit about the concert. Where you have a concert? Is it this coming?
It's Sunday night.
This Sunday. Oh, perfect. Okay. And where
and
is it?
And
it's go
in,
ahead.
Okay, I'll just tell you all the details. It's in North Hollywood at the NoHo Arts Center. It's a beautiful little theater there.
North Hollywood, right?
North Hollywood. It's at 11136 Magnolia Boulevard, which is almost right in the corner of Magnolia and Lancashire, if you're familiar with North Hollywood. It starts at 7:30. And my full band's going to be there with me, including my beloved producer, my favorite guitar player, and husband, Michael Gale. He's going to be leading the band.
Wow. Tamara in the chat just put, she has a great site. I found this poem she wrote here. Ooh, nice. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Her concert is at the, North. Wonderful. I want to get back a little bit, Jennifer, because so many people are like, can I read? This is so beautiful. Maybe we'll read your poem. So many people wonder, well, how did you have the bravery, the strength, you know, one of the person put in the chat room, it's the belief in oneself. And you even, you know, stated so much as an artist, it's really believing in ourselves that we can do this or we're meant to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Not just meant to do it. I think a lot of artists, we get the idea we're meant to do this, but can I do this? How do I do this?
Yeah.
So
yes.
What helped you to be able to really say, okay, I'm going to do this?
Wow, you know, Michelle, when I listen back to the first recordings I did, I think, what gave that young woman the feeling that she could do this, you know? Because I listen to him now, and I'm like, she wasn't that great, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But there was a fire in my belly. And to me, the best thing that I can say is to take steps to do it. Even if it's a small little baby step every day, just to do something. To, you know, just keep marching through your fears and your insecurities and do it in any way that you can, because there is nothing like experience. You know, the experience of getting up in front of people and sharing your music. And I'm so grateful. I mean, I was born and raised in Ethiopia. And so there's a lot of media. Yeah, there wasn't media around. But when anybody would come over for dinner, which was often because my mother loved to host, she was the hostess with the mostess, and she would always say, girls, I'll play them something. And I would like, but I am so grateful for that, that she just would always encourage us to play music. And that's kind of how I started writing. I would start taking the hymns, because I was a missionary kid. I was raised, you know, my parents and my grandparents were missionaries there. And so we sang hymns. You know, hymns were our music.
Ah, interesting. Very interesting. So you say there wasn't, so you grew up with song, it sounds like.
Absolutely, but there was no media influence, so I didn't, it was a very personal thing, and it was a very live thing, you know. We would sing every night in my home, and when I went away to school, which was at a young age because there was no English-speaking school where we were, there was a lot of music, and so we had to make the music. It wasn't like turn on the radio and hear the music.
Mm-hmm. So it's in you. And not a lot of media, so you're saying not television or not a lot of television, movies, and were there, you know, tapes, CDs, was there that type of media?
at that time, there was just, you know, the old 78, the LPs, and the electricity would only come on in the evening, so most of the electricity wasn't really fine-tuned, so a lot of the songs were, like, a little bit fast. They were the old classic, you know. There was no television. In fact, I didn't even know how to, when I came here in my mid-teens, and I was so scared of the telephone because we didn't have phones. We just didn't use phones.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was a total experience. And now I do most of my work on the phone, which I think is really interesting. But it was very much a live experience, you know. You had to be there doing it live. And I still think that experience is the best for any artist that wants to get stronger in their artistry. You know, even if you just play for friends or show your art, you know, just get it out of your little isolated space and share it somehow.
Yeah. I so agree with that. And even now with social media, you know, you can do this. I remember when I was first on Twitter and I was doing a lot of my soul insight sayings and poems, and I had a chat with somebody and they were like, oh, this follower or that, or, you know, and I said, you know, actually I got on there just to see my work published. I said, I don't care. I said, I'm glad people like it, but I really, just me seeing it in print was fine enough. You know, it was like, oh my God, it's going somewhere. There's somewhere that it's going, and people can, and back in the day they had this wall, I think it was called Twit Wall, that you could do all this kind of art with the words, and that is no more, that incarnation is gone. But I agree with you. I think there is something to the fact of just being seen, being heard, but having the belief in oneself, the courage, the feeling of worthiness to put it out there no matter what, you know, no matter what.
I have to tell you, Michelle, I don't think the feeling of worthiness was even there yet. You know, one of the albums that
out?
I did right before these two is called Worthy, and it's all around that, because I think we're still learning about, I'm still learning about that.
I am as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, I saw that on your YouTube, the talk, You're Worthy of Your Own Love, and then also the song Worthy, and it struck me to heart, because I agree with you. I think there are levels and levels, because I even look at where I'm at, and I question myself and say, and I've accomplished a lot, and I'll still say, oh, I don't know if I can do that, or oh, I don't know if that'll be good, or if they'll like that. And it's like, I feel like there's waves of worthiness. There's levels and levels and waves, you know, and waves within that. And that we become more realizing of our worthiness, you know, hopefully, you know, over time, or as we do our healing, you know, it comes from healing.
It's so connected with our self-love.
Yes. Yeah, that's a big part. Okay. And I feel like your music, your songs, your music, it's interesting you said that, love, and, you know, you're saying, you know, we are, everything is light, you know, that which is love. I feel like that's a big part of your communication is this love, expressing and perhaps getting people to not only see but feel that they are this love.
Well, I have to tell you that every song that I write is from my own spiritual journey. You know, it's sometimes when I'm trying to learn something, I will write a song about it. You know, when I'm trying to really and we use that word embody, but I'm trying to get it in my body. I'm trying to know it in my belly. I write a song about it because if I can sing it, if I can, you know, sing it to my cells, to my entire being, and I can know that. That's why I wrote I Am Worthy of My Own Love. I wrote that because I was really working on worthiness. And the light, I've been working with the Company of Heaven for about the last 6 years in a deep study, and I'm just so in love with this amazing source, a hierarchy of heaven that we have to really assist us. And there's only light. There really is only light. And anything that's misqualified, it has to go back to the light. And I think that's what's going on right now with, you know, all of us, is that anything that's hidden cannot stay hidden anymore. You know, that's trying to stay in deception is being exposed in the light. So everything has to go back to the light. We're just here on loan from God. You know, our life is really a loaner. And so a lot of my journey, all of my journey is in my songs. I have one song on here on Lie Down in the Grass, which is an interpretation of a Rumi poem. Out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, there's a field. I'll meet you there.
Yes, love that thing. Yeah.
Lie down in that grass. Lie down in that grass. And I just think about that grass as, you know, we are going to be joining each other in that play, in that grass of total non-judgment and complete acceptance and oneness. And that's, you know, a song that I think we can't hear that poem enough, you know. When the soul lies down in that grass, the world becomes still.
Yeah.
And ideas, language, even the phrase each other doesn't make any sense. Lie down in that grass. So to me, you know, these songs are my journey. I have a great love affair going on with Mother Mary, who wasn't any part of my childhood or my teaching. And she now is like a mentor, a big sister, an intercessor, whatever you want to call it. And I found this new rosary, and so I put it in a song called Holy Mare.
Oh.
Yeah, Holy Mare, and it's just very simple, but it's... that opening to Divine Mother.
Now we have that here. I'd love to play that a bit and then get your insights on why you wrote this, what it's about. So I think we'll play a bit, okay? Yeah, great.
Great.
All right, everyone, get comfy cozy, and this is Holy Mare. Jennifer Russell.
With thee, O Sacred Heart of the Mother Flame, hold the Immaculate Vision for us. Of angels,
Wow, that was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
That was amazing. People were putting in the chat, you know, they could feel the spiritual energy, you know, that they could just feel spirit. They could feel this connection. I put Shakti, you know, they could feel that. And a couple people said in the chat that they could feel this divine feminine, the mother energy. Another person said Mother Mary energy.
Yes. How wonderful. It's wonderful. It's the first time it's been played on the radio. Thank you, Michelle.
Oh, yay! I'm here! And I heard you said, what was it, Mary? Pray for us at the awakening or during this awakening?
Yeah.
Something of that sort. What?
Pray for us now. In our victory, in our ascension, but it first says in our awakening, in the perfection of our awakening.
In the perfection of how amazing.
Yeah.
How beautiful.
And that little, it's so interesting because I was walking, I live here in LA too, and I walk on the hills up here in the La Cañada, La Crescenta area, and I was listening to Elizabeth Clare Prophet, a podcast, and I heard her talk about this new rosary, and I can't find it again.
Oh!
So it's really interesting. So it's become my own, and I took it to the Ukraine a couple years ago and did a whole workshop for women there, and it was so much fun. And I realized that I had been wooing Mary for all these years and not even realizing it, and just about 4 months ago, she just kind of slipped in as my main teacher right now. So I'm... And the healing that's happened in my family is just incredible with this simple rosary, which is right on the song, you know, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. O Sacred Heart of the Mother Flame, hold the Immaculate Vision for us. Holy Mary, Queen of Angels, hear our call for wholeness. Pray for us now in our victory, our perfection, and our ascension fulfilled.
Wow.
And my son who was estranged.
Now, let me just ask you, we have Tamara saying, which album, please? I can't find it. Oh, what a blessing. This is beautiful. People are loving this. This is just amazing. You're getting such a great response. They're not able to find the album. Where is the song?
Actually, it's on Lie Down in the Grass. You should have no trouble finding it on my website.
Oh, on the CD. So it's on the CD?
It's on the CD. I think you can also download it on iTunes if you want. Mm-hmm. Lie Down in that Grass.
On that grass. Okay.
And this whole collection, I have always called this collection, you know, Devotional Songs to the Divine Mother. And that's what this collection is.
Oh, okay.
There's Only Light is more of a call to action. It's more active. And, you know, I was going to just do this one album. And then There's Only Light, Michael said to me, you know, this is sounding like there's a different feeling that wants to come out on another CD. And so these are twins. You know, the feminine always magnifies and glorifies the masculine as the masculine does the feminine. And so this other CD just came out, and it's much more active and, you know, calling us into action.
Mm. Oh, and Tree Prayer is on there, too. Yay! Okay, there's some people that are loving the music. And I love it. So, but I even feel, you know, the Lie Down on the Grass is an action, I think, that we all, you know, we need to take. It's like we need
to
take a conscious, healthy retreats. We need to go. Fountainhead is saying very peaceful feeling. Yes, very peaceful.
Yeah.
Such
and
surrender.
To me, it's a new way of creating. It's the divine feminine creating. And it's very important to create in that peaceful place. You know, and we're learning it. You know, we're learning a new way to create. We don't know this path very well yet. We're good at making the list and getting into the action. But into the stillness, you know, it's where it's all at.
And we need ways of tapping into this, teaching us this, reminding us of this. I'll share with you quickly, Jennifer, because I've been doing this soul entrepreneurship program and helping people find their soul's purpose and, you know, manifest. And I've been doing it for many years.
Wonderful.
Yeah, individually now I'm doing groups, but you mentioned something because a lot of people that are in that group are listening today. I love what you said about we're learning it differently. We don't know this very well. And I think making our way in the world now is very different. And connecting from that inner level, the inner plane, connecting with the truth of who we are, that, you know, our spiritual essence, and, you know, our soul. The individuality that we are, following those signs like you did, those nudging, those promptings, getting the healing, you know, the sacred prayer, the treatment, the spiritual prayer to help us is all part of it, you know, and to getting to that belief that we can do it. But I really want to underscore, because I feel it's so important, and so right, we don't know this way very well. We're learning a new way. It is a new way.
Yes, and it is very individual. I think that's what this whole third and fourth dimension are about, is that it's an individual. We're perfecting individual consciousness. So to me, this whole experience for me, I'll just speak personally because I think everyone will have their own experience with this, but it's been really coming into harmony with what I think you call the soul is what I call the beloved I am presence, my godness, that part of God that is me. That is walking and talking and being on this plane is that is the key relationship. That is the only relationship.
Yes.
And everything
else. Well, it is the individuated aspect of the all that is, or God. It's the individuated aspect of God.
That's what we're learning. Yes, that's what we're learning. And we're moving towards unity, but we're not quite there yet.
Yes, I agree. Yes, yes.
I was so comforted when I really realized that, because I kept trying to go to unity, and it's like, wait a minute, I really got to get this thing lined up first.
Yeah, we got to get our individuated aspect of all that is. Yeah, the meanest, and be okay with it. You know, a lot of people, oh, I don't want to be that, you know, but we need to come to that and recognize, like you had said earlier, that, you know, we are God, individuated aspects of God or the all that is. We are that. I am that I am. I am that I am.
Yeah. And that's when we really, you know, tap into our creativity and are of the greatest service.
Yes. What helps you do this? I know you help so many because you're a spiritual practitioner. And let's talk a little bit about that. What exactly you do, because I know that you work with people as well as, you know, in a different healing capacity than with your music, that you definitely are this amazing singer-songwriter, musician, and caring and revealing the light in that way. But you also work in other capacities as well. Could you share that with us?
I would love to. I am I'm starting to call myself a spiritual mentor because it goes in so many different categories. And so the one thing I do is I, you know, really sit with people in sacred session. And I feel like the biggest gift that I share is I listen and I pray. I really work in prayer. And I took many years to train to do that. And now I realize that I am just an instrument. I just really show up in this amazing presence flows through me for whatever is needed there. You know, spirit always shows up. And that has grown into, because I was told a couple of years ago that everything that I do has to be for myself first. Because, see, I was raised in a missionary mentality, so giving to others was more important than giving to myself. And when I got it in alignment that I was really to follow this presence, everything that I study and I learn now is coming up as amazing teaching. So I started this whole series of classes on the Company of Heaven, you know, working with the archangels. I'm doing a class right now of Walk in the Way of the Angels. And then in the fall, I'm offering the Seven Sacred Rays, which are these beautiful, actually spheres. They are godness and very deliberately given to us. And when we use them, and they're very simple, you know, the first ray is the will of God, the blue ray of Father God. And we have, you know, the pink ray of Mother God. It's just, I love understanding this new understanding. So I'm on fire with it in my belly. It's in my belly. And then the Elohim are amazing. They built this entire galaxy. And so they have steps that they built this galaxy in, and we can use them in really creating. And that's a new way of creating for me. And that has been part of this whole feminine download for me. And then the Company of Heaven is a real basic class of what is the Company of Heaven anyway, you know, and how do and we are actually a part of the Company of Heaven. So it's really about getting in alignment with all this amazing support that's here for us in the visible and in the invisible. So I'm doing that, and I'm also mentoring other practitioners, or I would say healers, light workers that are really wanting to step out and to have a prosperous business doing that. Because many practitioners and practitioners being spiritual leaders are not comfortable asking for an exchange of money for spiritual work.
Yeah.
And it's really time for them to come out and share their gifts. We all need them. Well, we all of us light workers need to be out there full on sharing what we came here to bring. And so that's that missionary part of me. It's time.
So true, and to receive from it, you know. Money, it's so funny about the money issue, because money is just a form of energy. Everything's energy, and it's you know, we don't have to overly focus on it, but it is a nice form of energy. It's fine to receive in that way, you know. It's we're meant to. It's the reciprocation, the energy exchange. Now, Jennifer, go ahead.
I just want to thank you. Oh. I want to thank you, Michelle, for doing what you came here to do and for standing in it so strongly and so beautifully and now sharing with others how to do the same thing. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. That touches me. I felt that transmission. Thank you. I felt that.
Yeah.
Me too. Yeah. Nice. Thank you. Thank you for being the divine channel for that. That was wonderful. it came right through. Oh, I love it. So people can connect with you at Jennifer RuthRussell.com, right? And if they'd like to be mentored by you or get more information, you have a lovely,
yes,
calming site.
Thank you. It's new, and so there's still a few bugs in it, and but it's a work of my love, and I love for you to come and visit me. And if I do offer these free clarity sessions with prayer, so if you go to the prayer page, you'll find that, and anyone on this call is welcome to come and sit with me for about 45 minutes if they want to get clarity on something, and I'll share a little bit of my work, and we'll see if there's any more work we want to do together.
Okay, yeah. Wonderful.
And I would love to see everybody come out on Sunday night. Yeah. Oh, awesome.
Yes, and tell us again. Yeah, there's a feeling, the amazing energy that's coming through. That is us. This energy that is us coming through us, as us.
Yes.
Felt. Yes. So again, just so I'm going to put it in the chat, but just again so that people know that are listening and then listening later in the archives and iTunes, your concert is in North Hollywood?
Yes. It's at the NoHo Arts Center. In fact, I can type on there too. In fact, I'm going to do that right now. I'll just type in a place where they could get tickets right now at Brown Paper Tickets.
Denise was putting, because down under it's early for you, Denise, in Australia. She said, what a wonderful way to start her day.
Oh, how beautiful. I'm so glad you're with us, Denise. That's beautiful. It feels good to be encircling the entire planet with this conversation.
Want to go back, that we've been connecting and communing with Jennifer Ruth Russell. You can find out more information at jenniferruthrussell.com. And we did listen to one of her wonderful Holy Ma, one of amazing songs of hers. We've been talking about There's Only Light and Lie Down in the Grass, two of her recent releases. And to jenniferruthrussell.com or also YouTube. And as well as iTunes. And then we're going to, so to find tickets is jenniferruthrussell.bpt.me. So jenniferruthrussell.bpt.me. And you can get tickets there and find out, as well as find out more information about the concert, which is this Sunday, August 9th at 7:30 p.m. JenniferRuthRussell.com is a good place to go for all the info. Perfect. And the concert again this Sunday, August 9th.
Yes, the musicians that are going to be with me are just extraordinary. They're in the Agape House Band, and they have been friends of mine for a long time, just absolutely stunning studio musicians. You're just going to have a great time. And we're just going to anchor in the light and the love.
Yes.
It's going to be a love fest.
This has been a love fest. Oh, my gosh. And I think that's what we all are. So amazing we all showed up that way.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being on Awakenings.
Much peace. My joy.
And thank you, Radiant Lights, for showing up in your life and showing up here and sharing your light and love with us. It's always a wonderful connecting that we do every Wednesday. And we are here every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific time. The beginning half of the program is for call-in questions, comments, and the second half you can call in too, but the questions need to be geared towards our guest and our topic. So if you have any questions or comments, you can email me at awakeningsradio@gmail.com. Also check us out on the BTR archives as well as iTunes. If you missed any of the segment, it's there waiting for you. So have a great rest of the week, a fabulous weekend, and continue to share your light, share your insights, and of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.